You're listening to For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation.
Hello there.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our Bad Batch recaps here on For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. It is Andrew and Don back here once again to talk Metamorphosis, episode 11 of the season. And what an episode it was. Honestly, I was worried that a lot of people were going to end up overshadowing the Bad Batch with, you know, it being the Mando premiere and all this week, having both these shows airing at once, which, by the way, if you missed our Mando recap, first of all, go ahead and check that out. And secondly, there's going to be some changes to our schedule. Let me just pull the graphic back up again. So normally we would have our Bad Batch episodes up on Friday, but because we can't record them now until Friday evenings, they're going to be going up on Saturday. So we'll have Mando recaps on Friday, Bad Batch recaps on Saturday. I'm sure we'll go over that again at some point. But yeah, I think people were worried that, you know, with all the Mando fever, that people either just would cast aside the Bad Batch or it would just be completely neglected. I'm going to be honest with you. This episode was so good. I think out of the two, I preferred the Bad Batch to Mando this week. So wow. I don't know if I'm going to keep a tally, but this was such a, like, talk about an episode where, like, okay, we know there's going to be stiffer competition this week, so we're going to go all out. And not only are we going to bring back something that we haven't seen in, like, what, like 13, 14 years, we're going to have just an episode that changes a lot of the dynamics and a lot of where this season is going.
They went they went full Purrgil on us.
Oh, they 100% like, went full Purrgil.
Just like Rebels did, yeah. Like, I'm going to completely agree with you, Andrew. Like, literally before we started recording, I said it. You know, it would have been so easy for this to feel like it was the entree to the main course that was the Mando episode, and it didn't feel like that at all. It was both episodes. Like, it was a great day to be a Star Wars fan, to have, like, to have both of these episodes come out, like, have Mando come out, be really fun, like, get us all caught back up into what Din and Grogu were doing, and then to have this story with the Batch, like, pretty much the, I'd say it's the creepiest episode we've seen in the on the show. Like, they went in full tilt horror in some spaces. You know, I kind of feel like this is the episode that I was hoping Infested would be, and I kind of feel a lot better now having seen a, like, an actual horror story sort of in the Bad Batch.
Yeah, no, definitely. They definitely went full horror vibes with a lot of the, especially early portions of the episode, and then later on as the Batch are going through that abandoned ship that crash landed on the planet, they go full, like, alien. They even, the creature, which we will talk about, of course, even at first in that newer form, the younger one looks a lot like the xenomorphs from Alien.
Like, so even the reveal of it hanging from the ceiling,
the drool, like, dropping on top.
Yeah,
of,
I think it was, and you can't see its eyes either. Like, it's just the mouth. And the whole thing about the xenomorph design, which I think helps make it terrifying, is the fact that there are no eyes. There's no point of empathy. It's just this, like, cold look with the mouth. They definitely took some design cues there, I think. Yeah. And it was a great way of misdirection, of, like, throwing us off what the creature actually was, which we'll get into later.
Exactly. Like, that really, really, really excited me. Unfortunately, I do need to bring up something here, and that is Disney Plus's banner for this episode. Just completely spoiling the reveal of what it is. And unfortunately, I saw that before I started watching the episode. So maybe next time, don't do that.
I was lucky enough to dodge that. Like, I didn't see that at all when it came up. I think because I had the Mando banner when I watched it, but, like, that sucks. That's the kind of thing where it's like, you should, they could have at least waited, like, a couple of days to throw that up, considering how big of a spoiler it is.
I made the mistake of, after I finished watching Mando, just instead of scrolling down to find Bad Batch, I just went through the homepage and, like, looked at the banners to click on Bad Batch, and I saw
Big
old guy himself right there. I'm like, oh, come on here. But we start the episode off, like we said, we start on the ship. We see a bunch of the clone commandos working on this creature, and then we see it escape and take out most of the crew. Great line from Omega later, like, it ate the crew, and just her, like, just total, like, shock and disbelief about it, which I thought was great. But then, again, just setting the horror vibes up of, like, you get a title like this, like, Metamorphosis. Like, I knew something important had to happen with, and it's great because it's a double meaning for this title, because not only is it the evolution of this creature throughout the episode, but also the Batch go through one as their
motives. And the Empire, too.
And the Empire, yep, is their motives of where they want to go in this conflict completely change. And if you've listened to me the past several weeks on this show, you know I was very excited to see that happen finally. But then we cut to finally Mount Tantus after they...
And they said it was Mount Tantus as well. Exactly. I love that.
As after they showed it at the end of season one, we hadn't seen it for the first 10 episodes of the season, and we're finally back there. We get Nala Se again, and then we get introduced to our new, who I'm assuming is taking over Rampart's role as the main antagonist of the show, Dr. Royce Hemlock. And let me just say about this guy. First of all, just incredibly punchable face. Second, hats off to the voice actor who is portraying him. Let me just make sure. Jimmy Simpson is his name.
Yes. I think he's from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah.
Is he?
Like, okay. He has a recurring role on that, I believe.
Okay. Because I got to be completely honest, he did such a good job that at the he's one of the McPoyles. I'm looking at him right now. Okay. Never would have guessed that from his performance. Because the whole time I was thinking, like, did they get Chris Pine for this character? Because it kind of sounded like him. And I'm like, there's no way they would have had someone like that and just not revealed it. But the whole
I thought for a split second, is this Jude Law? Like, is this Jude Law doing the voice? Is this who he's actually playing? And then I was like, I sat with it for a second. I was like, no, that's not him. But no, yeah, but he's so creepy. I would even very consider creepy. That he's like he's kind of a glow up from Rampart, because he's more personally involved in this project. You can tell because, well, I mean, he's a doctor. He's not a military officer. He's actually like involved in the project of what's going on here. And he kind of furthers getting to see things from his perspective. It really furthers along a lot of what had been shrouded in mystery. Like we had, like you said, we had no idea what was going on Mount Tantus. Like we hadn't seen it for 10 episodes. And now we're finally getting a sense of what's going on there. And it was really cool to see Nala Se as well. And like 100%. See that she's actually, funnily enough, destroying Topoka City wasn't really much of a motivator for her.
No, definitely not. The one thing that I was a little upset about is I'm pretty sure in season one, wasn't one of the characters we were introduced to, wasn't that another one of Shelby Young's characters? And then she's just not in this episode at all, unless I'm getting the character incorrect.
She did. I think she was still in the episode. I think she was the sort of like... assistant that was talking to Hemlock. I think that's her. I need to go back and check to be sure. But
I thought it was a different voice actress, or maybe they recast the character. I'm not sure, but
it's possible.
But
I have to go back and have a look.
It was just a great way of introducing us to Dr. Hemlock as a character. Just immediately, like, you know, he's serious business. And we like when he's like immediately like, all right, I'm taking over this entire operation. It's like, okay, so he's gonna be the big bad. He's got the very Star Wars villain-esque look, and he just starts talking to Nala Se, and he's trying to like persuade her to be a part of this cloning thing, or being locked in the cell will be the least of her worries, is I think like along the lines of what he says. And we do get a little tidbit that once the transport ship is revealed to have been like crashed on Empire, that one planet,
oh yeah,
we get the tidbit that Lamassu is still alive, and he's imprisoned on Coruscant, which I was shocked by because I thought for sure that man was dead last season.
I thought they just shot him right there. Like when you saw the doors close, I thought that was it for Lamassu. I didn't think we'd see him again. But it's interesting to have him around still. I think it's more interesting than just killing him off screen because you've now got like this internal clash between what Lamassu wants and what Nala Se wants. Because, you know, that was an interesting element from season one that I felt didn't get enough time spent on it because they were trying to keep it mysterious. Yeah. But I'm glad that they're bringing that back.
And then once we find out what Lamassu wants, I was like, I kind of wish you were still gone, you freaking asshole. But then we get that. And I just got to say, we got the Empire back in full force now. We know about this cloning stuff and all of that. I'm really excited about because maybe this will tidbit into who that one clone was in the clone conspiracy that was trying to assassinate Senator Chuchi and killed Slip and what was the other name? Cade.
Killed both of them, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, are we going to follow up on that at all? That would be interesting if it goes into that. And considering that we got the reveal later in the episode that Rex and Echo are going to be coming back, that I think that that's very much a possibility. However, I got to say, we got to start putting out those like missing things on milk cartons. Crosshair, where the hell are you? It's been like 7 episodes, bro.
Dude's had like one episode.
He's had one episode this season.
Which is fascinating.
It's just we talked all about the solitary clone. Like, what's going to happen with Cody? What's going to happen with Crosshair? And neither of them has shown up since that episode. So, like, are they coming back? Or was that the only episode they had this season?
It would be wild if they don't even appear for the rest of the series.
They drop, like, a masterpiece, and then that's just it. That's just it for Crosshair's. Like, all right, he's stuck in the Empire for the rest of his life. That'd be like, ooh, yikes.
What a miserable fate.
But then we cut back to Clone Force 99, and it's a great way to start this episode off because they are just, they've had it with Cid. And me, the whole time, I'm like, fuck yes, we're finally done with this shit. They're taking her shit. It's like, all right, I found this transport. And it's like, what makes you think we do a job for you? Or like, what makes you think we're even going back? And then they, Wrecker's reaction of just trying to, as they're like getting up the amount that they're going to get. It's like, oh yeah, you'll get 30% from this gig. And they're like, no. And it's like, all right, 35, 40.
Yeah, he's like,
all right, fine, 50. He's like, oh, what's going on here? Like the whole time.
Wrecker, bless him, he would have taken 30%. He would have let himself get totally swindled there.
He would have been like, I'll have all the Mantel mix I need with 30%. But he's like, 50. Yeah,
all the Mantel mix. He's got a weird accent, Wrecker, because he's got, it's sort of the approximation that Dee Bradley Baker does of to Mia Morrison, but it's also a little bit of like almost Cockney as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is very gravelly.
Yeah, but I'm really happy that they're like, that they are standing up to Cid because like it was a really interesting dynamic as well. And the fact that she's not even sorry, like she doesn't even try to like appeal to their better nature. Like, no. My hands were tied. What are you going to do? She doesn't really care. She's just like, oh, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I, like, you didn't help us. Like, yeah, I don't care. It's like, yeah, do this like, job.
And it's the thing is, like, we've talked before about, like, Cid, how that Cid is probably going to betray the Batch at some point. And, you know, we talked before about, like, how is she going to potentially be redeemed? Is she going to try and redeem herself? Is she going to feel bad about it and, like, maybe help them out? I actually think they could very well just pull a DJ and have her betray the Batch and not give a shit. And that's it in terms of her character. Like, she betrays them and she carries on with her life because like not everyone wants to be redeemed. And it would certainly be a harsh lesson for Omega to have to learn because she considered, we've seen before that she considered Cid like an extended family member. Like she would often go out of her way to help Cid.
I think it's very much a possibility now, especially because we have the reveal at the end of the episode that the Empire is after Omega again. It would be like, okay, $, these fuckers are not listening to me anymore. I'm going to betray them to the Empire. So I can definitely see it happening. I just hope it happens soon. When she called Hunter bandana, I was just like, come on. Like, I don't like her. Just go away.
And you know how bad it is that Hunter is like, finally he's just done with her shit. He's just like, exactly. I don't want to put up with your crap anymore, Sid. We do this one job for you and we're through. And he had to agree to do this freaking job. Of course he did.
Mm. I was just like, all right, just go back to Ord Mantell right now and burn the bar down. Take the Wookiee pelt. Omega can actually, no, that tribe has ruined that image for me, but just get get her out of there. No one likes Sid anymore. No, Sid sucks. But they're like, all right, what are we gonna do? And they're like, I do like the fact that they're like, okay, we could just leave and never come back, but Sid knows a lot of important information that we don't want getting out. So
yeah,
let's try to find a way to diplomatically do that. So I'm liking that, and I'm hoping that, especially now, after what happens at the end of this episode, that next episode is going to start with, now we're done. We gotta help our fellow clones.
Because like,
we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah, they like, because it's one thing to say that they didn't get like anything out of this. They like, we said before, I mean, I kind of said I was kind of hoping for a story like this where, like, because of the Empire's involvement, the Batch straight up fail their mission. Like, they don't even accomplish anything. They don't actually accomplish anything in terms of like an objective. All they manage to do is barely keep this creature at bay long enough for the Empire to show up with its superior numbers and contain the beast.
Takes the beast. The entire village is like essentially kidnapped. Like, it was just a
chilling,
dark ending, man.
It was so chilling to see all of those villagers just like marched into those transports and without a shred of explanation as to where they're going. Like, are they going to be enslaved? Are they just going to be killed? Like, that, it's a really chilling prospect. It's like,
you saw something you shouldn't have seen, so bye.
Get in the transport.
Yeah, that's the Empire for you, which is just gross. But here we go. They go to the wreckage of the ship and they're exploring it. And this is where we get a lot of the great horror tropes and elements in this episode. First of all, when Tech was like, all right, I'll be fine. I'll go look at this part. You guys look at the other part of the ship. I'm like, Tech, no, Tech, no, don't do this. Have you ever watched a horror movie?
And they played us as well. They made us think Tech was in danger, and he wasn't the whole time. Wasn't. We got the freaking jump scare with a little droid like poking its head out of the panel, like danger. There is danger here.
I was like, what danger? And then we don't find out about it. But yeah,
and we know there's danger there.
There's danger.
We skipped over as well, like, because it was very that opening bit was very atmospheric as well. And we also got, like, I think it's the first time, I think, since Bad Batch came back that we got like a D. Bradley Baker clone trooper death scream, because he did so many of those.
He sure did.
That poor Republic commando just getting hoisted up and just hearing his screams throughout like the empty ship was just very chilling. And like, it's weird because like they also have that really surprisingly gory image. I'm pretty sure that was an arm hanging out of the creature's mouth when you first meet it. It's just really well done.
I didn't even notice that, but
it's very dark because, like, it's the only lighting is like the energy kind of crackling around in its mouth. But like the way that it flopped around, it looked like a limb to me.
Sweet, I'm gonna have to go back and check that out. I love when Star Wars. As someone who's not necessarily the biggest horror fan, when Star Wars does horror elements, I'm all for it. It's so weird that I'm like, yeah, not really huge, but it's like every time I'm like, I need more of this right now. It is so weird, my relationship with that. But again, I also thought it was a really good choice, a cool choice at least, of having every trooper that worked with all the Tantive stuff in this episode be clone commandos. I thought that was a really good choice. And then we got to see... what's his name? Scorch.
They credited him as well. I was really jazzed when I realized that was probably Scorch last season when they went to that Republic, Empire base and met the TK troopers for the first time. And it was, I love that they've credited him now. That's really awesome. It could have just been like a little, oh, people picked up on it, so we'll credit him as Scorch. But I actually think it means more because he actually had voice, he had more voice roles, and he's literally like shown interacting with Dr. Hemlock. So I think they're setting something up for next episode, which is exciting.
I'm very excited. But again, the way that they explore this was great. The way that they would, because originally I was like, oh, we're exploring a dark abandoned cave slash ship slash tomb. Again, I'm like, we've done this so many times in this show.
I had the exact same thought. I was like, okay.
They did a great way of doing it, because they would just have the flashlights and you'd just see like the slashes on the walls, or you'd see like the saliva of the creature on certain things, and like, what the hell is this? And then the reveal of like whatever was on this ship killed everyone and it's still aboard the ship. Once they get all the I don't remember. Was the first reveal of the creature, was it before or after they had turned all the lights on, or Tech had turned all the lights on in the ship again?
I think it was after he turned the, I can't remember which order really, honestly, but I think it might have been before actually, because it's dark when they first see it. I think they first see it and then it drops down onto the floor.
Yeah,
then afterwards Tech turns the lights on.
Yeah, because it was like dripping down on, I think it was either Wrecker or Hunter.
It was Wrecker. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no. It was like, is Wrecker like toast in this episode? Like, is this really going to be a metamorphosis? But they're able to subdue it for a little bit. But we do get to see that every time this beast interacts with electricity, it grows and grows and changes its shape. They even have the reaction, it's like, did it look like that the last time we saw it? They're like, I don't think so. And then it ends up escaping. And then they have to subdue it, but Tech stays back to with Omega because she's familiar with a lot of the Kaminoan cloning
technology,
which I really like whenever they do that. I think that's really like have that little extra tidbit of Omega's character is she can help them out with a lot of this Kaminoan cloning stuff where the others can't, because
she was
Kamino her whole life.
Exactly. She was practically Nala Se's lab assistant, so of course she would know how to work all of this technology. And it also kind of means that she's out of the way for like the bigger action sequence, because there's no way Hunter would take her into that kind of environment. She may have been trained, but I'm not sure like she would necessarily be ready for something of that scale.
Exactly. And then it's like at this point we were like, I was starting to be like, well, because I had already known, obviously, but I was like, maybe it wasn't that. And I'm like, oh, they're really building it up. And then as Tech's looking, he's like, wait, hold on. This is the same creature that...
Same species,
Same species that attacked Coruscant during the Clone Wars. I was like, no. No.
I like, what? And I had this dissonance in my mind because I was like, species, but there was only like one alien that attacked Coruscant, and then my mind was like, no, surely not. And then literally as I was having that doubt, like it cuts back to Hunter in the cockpit, and then the Zillow Beast head rolls into view on like clutching onto that power coil, and my jaw
what a
dropped.
Great reveal.
So the freaking Zillow reveal. They brought back the freaking Zillow Beast. That's insane. It's just so insane.
The one thing I'm upset about is that we got to this episode before we got to the Zillow Beast episodes.
It's gonna be so wild. Like,
I know we're gonna be, oh my god! Like, because we had just gotten this episode.
Recapping that now, like that storyline felt so self-contained back then. It's gonna be wild going back and recapping that now, knowing that this is like now part of the ongoing narrative, that this is like a huge part of the new show, because like it is not this new Zillow Beast doesn't get taken down, and the fact that they were able to clone it is insane.
It's like we know what what Palpatine did with it, like he's cloning it, and they're using it. Like, I love how Tech was like, are they cloning this thing? And they're like, yes and no, because not only did they clone it, but they're also using it to help clone with other stuff and use that for like weapons, which I think is really interesting. And I'm just so excited and intrigued and seeing where this is going, especially because those Zilla Beast episodes, I haven't seen them in a long, long time.
Same.
But they were very, like, Godzilla, Kaiju influenced. So to see that here again, even though it's a bit, I believe that this one's a bit smaller, obviously it is a clone, it's a little younger, but it's plus still it's enough like, to, like, yeah, it's yeah, still yeah. enough to do a lot of harm to this village, and every time it absorbs more and more electricity, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where, like, this entire village is just screaming. My favorite thing about Bad Batch, and I get that with animated shows like this, like reusing models of like background civilians is common practice. We saw it all the time in Clone Wars. I totally understand it. But my favorite thing is, like, every time you go to a new, like, secluded town or village, there's always like the guy with the weird hat. There's like three of them. There's always like a Quarren. There's you can always count on like the same like three or four looking kind of guys.
Yeah, and the goat faced alien. The goat
faced alien always there. I don't remember that always being the case, but ever since like Clone Wars season 7, there's been a lot of that goat faced alien from the cantina in A New Hope. He's just always there. But I just love that little thing. It's like a little just paying a little bit of tribute to the background civilians in Bad Batch scenes. I was like, as soon as I saw the hat. The guy with the hat, I was like, oh, okay, there's a town in danger.
Another thing I really liked as well is that this doesn't just bring the Zillow Beast back for nostalgia. It adds to the character's physiology, like, because I don't recall at any point in the previous story that we found out that it could absorb electricity, like other either. Forms of power. It just adds, having stuff like that, it adds to the menace of it, and it adds more to it, like, this feeling more like a flesh and blood animal with its own unique physiology, and it just makes it more of a threat knowing that it actually, you know, if you were to put it against starfighters and such, it would be a lot harder to take down because of that.
Yeah.
And it just makes the Empire's designs are for it, like, all the more intriguing. Like, what could they want with this? There's so many possibilities aside from like the obvious cloning stuff we see on Exegol in the sequels.
They like put the armor on it, and like that made it so like their blasters did absolutely nothing. We even see them, I think they tried to like shoot it with a Marauder at points, and that barely did a thing.
And then it freaking like clamped onto the Marauder, which onto was the like
ship.
I was like, geez, this thing
like,
is
did
tough.
You get it? And they're like, no. It's like they did a really good job at just consistently upping the threat of this beast, which I thought was just another just great thing that this episode did. The constant just like dark tone and themes of this episode, not only visually, because there is a lot of like strong darkness in terms of how this episode is lit, but just in terms of the episode itself and just how different it seems from even last week, getting like, oh, Benny and the whole miners as they're trying to get their ship back. Like it was still very Bad Batch. This week it was like, whoa, things are a bit different. And I guess
I'm glad you pointed the light era is
gonna be a bit different now.
Well, it is. I almost wonder if the remainder of the episodes are gonna be a lot less lighthearted. You know, like it's gonna be this, like it's gonna mark a turning point with this season where everything is more dark, is a lot darker, and they can't just go back on like episode of the week storylines, because now that this is a next level threat that has been reintroduced into the story, and I don't feel like the batch could just go back to an episode of the week. I presume, like, I have my theories that we might not even follow the batch necessarily in the next episode based on what's said at the end of this and like certain things that have been said like off you know, behind the scenes, but it's definitely it feels like a turning point for the show. And I'm really glad you brought the lighting as well, because the lighting in the last episode was very kind of like primary colors, a lot of like reds and stuff like that. Whereas like this, there's a lot of cold lighting, a lot of blues and white lighting, because we're dealing with like the Empire and a much colder, like darker part of the galaxy. Because we're getting into like what what the Empire's plans are, which is really cool. It's something we've all been a little frustrated about, like, oh, what's going on with the Empire? What are the Empire like planning here? And it's just, yeah, I'm glad that we've got back to that.
Definitely. I am very excited that we're going full throttle on all the Imperial stuff, and especially now that they're really showing and putting a huge emphasis on Mount Tantus and the cloning stuff and how this is going to connect to so much stuff that we've seen before. Not only just like the fact that they say, like, later on when the Batch was like, they didn't destroy Kamino to stop cloning, they controlled it to control all the cloning in the galaxy.
Yeah.
And this eventually will lead to what we see in Mando, what we're seeing, yes, what we saw in the sequel trilogy. It's perfectly setting up for everything.
Exactly. I think that, like, it's really, yeah. So you just mentioned Mando. Like, I do wonder if this is why Mando, they've chosen to have Bad Batch season 2 overlap with the release of Mando season 3. Like, these specific set of episodes, because this is the first time we've gone to Mount Tantus. This is the first time this season that we've seen those scientists wearing the outfit that we know Dr. Pershing from The Mandalorian is part of. That whole group on. I just thought of it now. Like, he's part of that whole group on Mount Tantus. We know he's in season 3. We've seen him in the trailers. We're probably going to get more development on him and what he's planning, what kind of designs he has, and whether he still is based at Mount Tantus. But I do wonder if, like, these last block of episodes are really going to connect to the Mandalorian, in that we're going to see setups for stuff, because obviously, for those who don't know, Mount Tantus was originally from the Heir to the Empire novels. It was Grand Admiral Thrawn's base of operations where cloning experiments went on, and that's why it's such a significant thing that it's here, and what it probably means for the live action shows. Because we're all kind of speculating that they're gonna be building towards some sort of version of Heir to the Empire, given that we have Thrawn in play and we have all of these elements from that era of Legends being reintroduced. I feel like it makes a lot of sense to tie into Mando more heavily in these last block of episodes, because they've done it before. They had freaking Fennec Shand show up in the early block of season 1. So I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah, no, I agree with pretty much everything you said right here. And I do find it so curious that earlier in the season, we had speculated that they had pushed it back to kind of have very similar themes overlapping with Andor. And now, as the season progresses, we're seeing overlapping themes with The Mandalorian Season 3. So I think that's very intriguing that they did it, where they set up, so, okay, let's push this back so it comes out after Andor and before and during Mando. And then we'll see a lot of overlap there in terms of storytelling. That, I think, is really a cool way of doing things. And while I obviously would prefer if Bad Batch had its own days to itself, or could air without having to worry about being overshadowed by Mandalorian, I still think that having one on Wednesday and one on Friday was the right way to go. They did Bad Batch on Fridays last season. They did Mando, obviously, was Mandalorian Fridays for a while. And even when Disney Plus during Bad Batch season 1 kind of changed from Friday releases to Wednesday releases for all their shows, they still kept Bad Batch on Friday during that entire season. So I'm like, why don't you just keep that same thing for this season and move Mando to Friday or move Bad Batch to Friday? But again, we're getting both for now for the next 5 weeks. And it means that content's going to be a little bit hard for us, but we'll get through it. We will get through it. But
we will persevere.
As the Batch is literally doing, like, nothing to contain the Zillow Beast, you just see a bunch of Imperial ships come out. You still have, like, the Republic gunship look. I love that you...
Yeah, the Veneta, yeah.
We're not at TIE fighters yet, but it is... Is it the...
The V-Wings,
The V-Wings, yeah. I was going to say V-Wings, but I'm like, I don't think it's V-Wings. Love that ship, though. It was one of the first Lego sets I ever had, was the Revenge of the Sith V-Wing Starfighter. Probably still have it somewhere deep in storage at this point. I would like to unearth that at one point and just display that again. But hold on, I just got a interesting Twitter DM, so I will talk about that after the show.
Oh.
So I'm excited. but it's nothing too huge, but it was exciting to see. And it distracted me because I saw it off the corner of my mind. But I do love the viewings because I love how they still kind of have like that TIE fighter sound whenever they show up in Bad Batch. But it's still like we're not there yet where we have Super Star Destroyers and TIE fighters and all the like Imperial things that we recognize that we did see at the end of Revenge of the Sith. So I'm really starting to wonder how much of a time jump was that final scene in Revenge of the Sith with Vader, Palpatine, and Tarkin just looking out at the Death Star construction?
Well, I'm pretty sure it can't be too much because I'm pretty sure it's still just like a Venator, Star Destroyer, and V-Wings.
Okay, because I thought... Yeah. I'm going to have to look back at the scene because this whole time I thought it was TIE fighters. But
I mean, it's very easy to like, because I had to think for a second to like, is it a Venator? But I'm pretty certain because like, you know, you've got all of the like visual coding of A New Hope because you literally have Tarkin, you have a young Tarkin standing on the bridge with them and
the outline of the Death Star. I'm pulling up the scene right now. Again, one of my favorite scenes in Revenge is that not only in terms of just visuals, but score and everything is those last like 5 minutes.
The tragedy that you can feel in those like notes of John Williams.
No, you're 100% right. Those are V-Wings. So I've just been making the tie roll.
Yeah,
I've been looking at that scene wrong for 18 years. But you're 100% right. And again, I just love that ship. And I want them to do another Lego set of it sometime in the future, especially if we got a Bad Batch Season 2 tie-in with it, like V-Wings, and then you could have Clone Commandos with it or something like that. That would be really, really cool.
I feel like the show has finally like been able to, like, because the problem with V-Wings is that they come along at the tail end, like literally the end of the Clone Wars.
End of the Clone Wars, yeah.
And the problem is most between stories that take place between 3 and 4, they usually happen around the time that the more familiar Empire architecture and vehicle designs are present. So there's not really been much of an opportunity for V-Wings to actually get to do stuff. And I feel like the Bad Batch has finally kind of like rectified that and been like, oh yeah, here's V-Wing chases and like getting to see V-Wings actually engage in some dogfights. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Were they, because Revenge of the Sith was the first time they've shown up.
Yeah,
they weren't in any of Clone Wars. Wow. So it's
exactly, yeah.
Bad Batch has been the only thing they've been able to show up in live action.
It was literally the ARC 170 Clone Wars. Yeah, it was literally the ARC 170 fighters that were used at the start, and then like the V-Wings come in at the end. Which because it's like it makes sense because they are literally a symbol to help shift to show that the Republic is shifting into the Empire now and has like truly become that. But yeah, it's a shame that they haven't been able to be used before, but it's like it's great to see them in action now. It was really cool to see them all like, you know, swooping down with the Zillow Beast, and the fact that the Zillow Beast was like captured, because I did wonder would they kill this one again and maybe try and clone it a third time, but no.
They captured the claw. We just both went for the same thing there.
Both went for the same joke. Yeah, we both had the same thought. They literally grabbed the Zillow Beast and pulled it in there after like stunning it. It was very intimidating to see the Empire immobilize it, given how much trouble the Zillow Beast caused in that Clone Wars storyline. It was just like such a beast, literal beast to take down, and to see the Empire just immobilize it was just like, holy shit, the Empire is not to be trifled with at this point. They are like, they have so many resources at their disposal. It's pretty scary.
Oh, 100%. Like the way they just completely take it, get out of there, and then they, like we said, just kidnap the whole village. Just gone. Just
deeply chilling.
Very deeply chilling. Scorch, I believe, was the one leading all of the villagers into the transport ships. It's like, what's going to happen with them? We're probably never going to find out. And I guess that's just the creepiness of the Empire in so many ways.
Yeah, it's more creepy that way.
The sinister aspects of the Empire. But then, maybe my favorite scene in the whole episode is just the batch on the Marauder after that episode, after everything that went down there, and them realizing just how different things are now. And it just really, the fact that the Zilla Beast is, one, has been cloned, and two, that the Empire has not stopped cloning whatsoever, that the Defense Recruitment Act did not stop cloning. It just put an end to clone troopers for the time being. And they're like, okay, so we, like, I think Hunter at this point has been the one that was like, okay, we need to find a way to get away from the Empire and to have Omega have a normal childhood. And that was like the one thing that was keeping them away from Rex.
Yeah.
And from Echo when he left. And now that's like, no. Like, Tech, you need to send this to Echo and Rex and see if they can figure something else about that.
And the look on Hunter's face at the end. Yeah. When he stands with his back to the other group and he looks angry, like he's like, he has this look of frustration on his face, like, we're going to have to get, we can't turn our back on this.
No.
We're going to have to get involved, and this is going to cause some problems, because he knows that this will mean probably severing ties with Cid, because they have to, because, you know, she got them into this mess, literally. Like, they wouldn't have been involved in this. They wouldn't have known about the damn Zilla Beast if not for Cid, which she'll probably try and claim credit for. She'll be like, hey, you wouldn't know about that creature if it wasn't for me. You owe me. But then I feel like,
where's my Zillow Beast? And it's like,
where's my Zillow Beast?
Yeah,
that will come in handy next time Malegi comes calling.
Yeah,
I feel like
so much is changing now, which I'm super excited for.
Do you think
the betterment of the show?
Yeah, do you think we're gonna get like a Rex and Echo centric episode next week, given that they're sending the data to them?
Let's see. The episode's name is The Outpost. So that could mean anything.
Well, maybe that's where Rex is taking like clone troopers who want to defect, who want to get out of Coruscant.
Cool. That would be because, so like, cool.
It would make a lot of sense. And we know there's going to be more clone troopers in the next episode, because Dee Bradley Baker recently said in an interview that we are going to be introduced in episode 11 to... No, episode 12, sorry. 12, in episode 12. Yeah, to his new favorite clone trooper. So that gives me a lot of reason to think that this is gonna be Rex and Echo centric, because it feels like that's why you would split Echo off from Rex, not just to cause tension with the batch and to like have that be a difficult thing for Omega to deal with, but also to like show what's going on with Rex and to show what Rex is doing and how he's helping his brothers escape the clutches of the Empire and like maybe settle and find new lives elsewhere. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. I do think it would be maybe a little bit odd after such a big momentous episode to not have the batch in it at all next week. Maybe they could be there at the beginning and then we cut to Echo and Rex. But I'm assuming that...
Or at the end.
Yeah, I'm assuming that now they're going to all be working together again.
Inevitable.
Yeah.
I feel like we're gonna have the band back together properly. It wouldn't shock me, to be honest, if Rex becomes a regular after this season. Like, I feel like the end point of the season has to be that the batch becomes more active fighting the Empire.
A lot of what we thought... I think this season was going to be the clone rebellion type of things. I think that might be next season now. And like this will be the realizing the threat of the Empire and their cloning and Mount Tantus. And then next season will be finding these rogue or deserted clones and helping them out. And then that's maybe where we transition to Rex, off on the abandoned walker with Gregor and Wolf, because we still gotta meet Wolf at some point, which is why I'm really hoping that this is not it for the batch. I don't think it's going to be, but the fact that we've had very weird marketing for this season and so many other different things, the fact that it got delayed about 18 times, it's like, it makes me think that they're not really prioritizing the Bad Batch, but I think we'll at least get one more season, especially because you're in the age of Disney Plus. So like you can't use the ratings. Like you can still like produce the show. They brought the Clone Wars back for that very reason. Like, so you could very much do that with Bad Batch, and there is always going to be that very loyal, dedicated audience for animated Star Wars. Like, that's not going
as there should be.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, animated Star Wars is has given us so much. It's like, it's awesome. And, like, we wouldn't have The Mandalorian. So much of what makes The Mandalorian awesome, if not for Star Wars animation.
And I think I saw, like, early numbers for, like, Disney Plus traction for this week, and Bad Batch did, I think it was still in the top two or three, even with Mando. So that's a very good sign.
Yeah, so I think we are probably, hopefully we're safe for a third season, and they'll do a similar thing that they have done with Bo-Katan in The Mandalorian and elevate Rex to starring status.
I just have trauma from the way Resistance was built, because again, I went to that season two panel at Celebration. There was no sign whatsoever, the way that they were speaking in that panel and everything, that this was the final season. It was not uttered once. And
wasn't Jennifer Corbett involved in that show?
I think so.
Well? So that would be a
She was, and
terribly
so was,
unlucky for her.
Justin Ridge, who I believe is still working on Bad Batch, but he definitely has done a lot of those early Clone Wars episodes that we've been talking about. But like, again, and then when the marketing for that season started, it was all of a sudden, oh, it's the final season. And then the fact that, like, we've had Book of Boba Fett and Obi-Wan come and go, and we still don't know if that was it or if we're going to get a second season. So it kind of terrifies me. It's like, we know Mando and Andor are safe.
I'm and then everything optimistic else is like, about Obi-Wan.
Me too. I think the fact that Ewan is at Celebration this year makes me think something. I mean, it's probably for Ahsoka, but it makes me think that something is going to happen. So
do a season two and send him to Mortis or Remnicor with Reva to learn how to be a Force ghost. Do that. That would be sick.
That sounds like, amazing.
Yeah. Like, literally have him and Reva go on a road trip with Qui-Gon guiding them, and then they like have to, they maybe encounter the Inquisitors or something. That would be so cool, and it would give the series some like awesome locations to visit. Yeah.
Well, after seeing Cocaine Bear last week, I just seeing Alden Ehrenreich and O'Shea Jackson Jr. sharing the scene for like the entire movie, I was like, all right, so like, let me try to figure out a Han and Roken scene in my head, see how that could work. But no, I'm so excited about where this show is going. I'm intrigued on how you said that Dee Bradley Baker interview of like what this clone is going to be. Is it going to be someone we know already? Is it going to be an entirely new character?
He said new, so I would assume it's definitely a new character.
He'll be like the Hauser of this season, I'm guessing.
We obviously have to talk about the ending scene as well, because it doesn't end with the Zillibees being captured. We actually go back to Mount Tantiss and we see Lama Su arrive there and talk with Dr. Hemlock, and Hemlock's like, oh, I need to get Nala Se to cooperate with me. How do I do that? And Lama Su's just like, he gets right to the point. He's like, find Omega. That will get her to talk, basically. And it's it's very jarring even now to see him like turn on Nala Se so quickly and be like,
he wants
his freedom. Care. Exactly. He's a politician to the core. Like, he's very much like Halle Bertoni. He doesn't really care very much, seemingly, that the Empire like massacred his people, destroyed his facilities, and is usurping his technology. He just wants to be free. And then the interesting thing that has me interested about what they could be doing in the next few episodes is so then Dr. Hemlock says to Scorch, who is next to him, he's like, find the girl. And at first I was thinking, oh, they're going to send bounty hunters after her again. So we'll probably see Cad Bane. But then I thought, well, that's a bit repetitive. And then I thought, well, what's the thing that you could do to ensure that she gets back to Mount Tantiss, and that is send actual clone commandos after her, maybe a squad of them that involves Scorch. Because like, I swear, like, I have been wanting Delta Squad to appear in full in the Bad Batch for a while now, because like, they were the original Clone Force 99, they were the special squad, and it's just, it would be so cool to have Delta Squad go up against the Bad Batch. It would just be, it's just, they the fact that they haven't done that is just insane. And I'm hoping that that's what's happening, that they go after that. We're going to get a Delta Squad versus Bad Batch episode. Hopefully that won't kill them.
That would be an amazing reveal. Yeah. I also think bringing back, again, you know, he's in the show, Crosshair would be interesting here. Maybe this is where he's finally like, this Empire thing, maybe not my thing. And I think, if especially if we're focusing again on Rex and Echo, that Cody coming back into the story at some point only makes sense, because they got to know, they got to find out that he's gone AWOL at some point. Because I think so many people, and I think they knew this, that bringing Cody back would only increase the questions of, okay, well, we got to see him and Rex again. What happens with him and Rex? So if
keep him alive.
If they just don't acknowledge that ever, it's a very missed opportunity.
I am begging Lucasfilm, don't kill him off. Save him for season two of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan, Reva, and Cody, all on a road trip to freaking Mortis or Remnicor. Either one will do. Like, that would, you know, you'd have me like front row seat. If they screened that in cinemas, that would be incredible.
That sounds amazing, and I want that right now. But I thought this episode did such a great job at being a metamorphosis. See what I did there? For the entire series, you get this new villain in Dr. Hemlock. You see the Batch go through a change in purpose and what they need to do. You see the Empire go through this with the cloning, like you said. And of course, the metamorphosis, hard word to say, that the Zillow Beast goes through throughout the entire episode. And again, just got to stop and think, like, the freaking Zillow Beast came back. It's just because I remember people saying, like, oh, he was in the trailers. And then when Entombed happened and was the giant mech thing, we were like, okay, no, wait, maybe that's what they were talking about. But then it showed up again and we're like, oh my God, like, that's insane. And the way that they did the reveal of like the first half of the episode, you're like, it could be the Zillow Beast, but maybe it's not, because it looks so different. Yeah. And then when you finally get that reveal, you're like, oh shit. And for those that watch Clone Wars, you're like, this is great. And if you didn't, they're like, is this the same species that got loose and attacked Coruscant? And you're like, well, that sounds like, what happened there? And then you can go back and watch those Clone Wars episodes, and boom, there you go. More traction on Disney Plus. So I'm very excited to see where the Batch goes for the rest of the season as we deal with the Bad Batch and the Mandalorian going at the same time. Again, before we wrap up, I just want to briefly plug our new schedule for the next couple weeks. So Fridays at noon, you're going to see Mando recaps. Saturdays, you'll see the same thing for the Bad Batch. And then at the beginning of the week, probably anywhere between Monday through Wednesday, we'll have every other week, hopefully, our Clone Wars coverage, with Ryloth arc being the next one we talk about to wrap up season one of For the Republic, a love letter to Star Wars animation. So thank you guys for joining us on our Bad Batch recaps here. Don, where can they find you? Do you have anything to plug? Any things that you've been involved with recently?
I do, as a matter of fact. So first off, yeah, I wasn't on last week's Bad Batch episode because I was recording, I was making a guest appearance on the Who's the Boss podcast hosted by Mike Celestino. I had a lot of fun talking about last week's episode, talking about Benny and the cartoonish villain that was Marco. Love that guy.
Yuri Lowenthal, Supremacy.
Yeah, and Yuri Lowenthal too. That was awesome. But yeah, so you can find that the Who's the Boss podcast is on all the places you'd find podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you also can find it on YouTube at thelaughingplace.com YouTube channel, which is the host website for Who's the Boss. On Twitter, you can also find me on Twitter at Donovan Mead, where I tweet Star Wars, Marvel, occasionally Doctor Who, and like very also occasionally politics. and you can find me on Hive and TikTok under the same handle at Donovan McComish. Instagram, you can find me at Donovan_McComish. And like Andrew and Connor, I am both I am also to be found on sweditorig.com. I write articles and short stories there. Like my most recent article was about an Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2 and what the directions they could go in. Annoyingly, I never thought of the Mortis prospect until after writing that article, but what are you going to do? I'm also part of SWEF, Star Wars Editor Fiction, which is a collection of short stories that we write, fan stories, web comics that try not to stray from anything that is canon. We try to keep ourselves within the canon timeline of what is currently going on with Star Wars, but we also like to lift a few things from Legends and reappropriate them for these stories if it fits. I have written one story. It came out in June last year. It's called Scars of War. It stars a clone trooper called Blister who encounters a Jedi survivor of Order 66, and they both have a lot of trauma to deal with. So if you like Star Wars and pain, maybe consider checking it out. It was a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything Don said there. Now, as for myself, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Starlight Andrew. Same username everywhere. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at For the Repub Pod, on Instagram and TikTok at For the Republic Pod. We'll be posting updates on the show as we start a new era of the show, essentially with the launch of our Mando recaps. So check that out. Also, make sure to check out our recap of Mando Chapter 17 that dropped today as we're recording, yesterday as it's being uploaded. So check that out. It was me, Don, and Connor talking about the apostate. Give that a watch. And then if you missed last week's Bad Batch recap, it was me and Chelsea from SWE and This is the Wayseekers. Go check that out as well. And we got some exciting stuff coming up in the future. Some stuff that I'm excited to announce pretty soon, and it's going to be a fun couple of weeks as we move forward to that. Ryloth will probably come out sometime early portion next week, and then we'll see you back here on Friday for Mando and Saturday next week for Bad Batch. So until next time, we'll see y'all later, and may the Force be with you always.